Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey and Better. Also, Social Geek Radio is a proud supporter of the International Franchise Association's VetFran program. For nearly 30 years, VetFran has been the bridge between the franchise and veteran communities, educating veterans about entrepreneurship, encouraging franchisors to commit to veterans, and advocating for veteran franchisees. The program has nearly 600 corporate members and operates a national network of veteran franchisees supported by public and private sector partners. Learn more about VetFran at vetfran.org. It is Franchise Friday, and we're going to get some advice and some tips and some trends from our friend Marianne O'Connell. She's the president of FranWise. Hey, Marianne, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Still locked down in Chicago here in early August 2020. I assume it's the same for you in beautiful Southern California.
I suppose it's beautiful outside, but yeah, we're still locked down too. And we seem to be on a race to be number one for COVID numbers, but yeah, Hopefully we'll all knock that back soon.
Yeah, you know, the one good thing that's happened over the past few months with our entire franchise family is I think I have seen you and a few other friends more in the past 4 months or 5 months, if we count video calls and Zoom meetings and happy hours and things. I think I've seen you more than I typically do, even though we're usually at conferences this time of year.
That's the truth. Zoom is now our first cousin. I mean,
it sure is.
They've moved in.
Yeah. I don't think they're ever leaving again. So get used to it, folks. I think we're going to be looking at virtual communications for quite a long time. In another area of communication that is near and dear to my heart, podcasting, tell us a little bit about what you're planning to do maybe later this year when it comes to my favorite medium.
Well, I got some prodding from some friends in franchising and also was moved by what I have seen in the last 5 months to create a podcast that is called, don't be offended anybody, but it's What's Your Effing Business?
Effing, of course, referring to
franchising.
Okay.
What else could it be?
I have no idea.
And a lot of this is born out of my decades in franchising. And I watch a lot of times that brands and their executives tend to focus on the wrong things. That there are definitive pieces within their franchise agreement that they have to provide. And they tend to let those slide so that they can go deep on more ancillary things that might be prettier, shinier, but not really get the brand where it needs to go. Now add to that, in this extraordinary time when everyone has had to make on-the-fly changes, I've been watching all the podcasts and all the webinars, and it seems to me the brands that understood their core being the best have fared the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to reach out and talk to those people and get their insights as to how did they lay that base so that they could be where in a position to survive right now, and then how did they adapt. So we're kind of doing a sub-chapter on this. I've found that there are two mindsets, and I've talked to Rebecca Monet from Zoracle about this. You have builders and you have growers. So there's one group of people that tend to be great founders. They're visionary, they have an excitement, they can draw people to them. They're great at building brands, but they tend to top out at some point. I may be dating myself by saying they get Peter principled. They get to the point where they have exceeded their own talents.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have growers, and we have a lot of superstars in franchising who I would put in the grower side. They've never been with a brand when it started because they wouldn't be good with that. They're great at now taking a seed and putting fertilizer on it and making it grow to a huge plant. And so I'm trying to bring in some people who are either builders or growers, and there are a few, just a very few, who have been successful in both roles. One of those that I'm excited to announce we're going to be talking with is Shelley Sun from Bright Star. I think that she has done an exemplary job on both sides of that. And also Susan Beth. So Susan at NRD Capital, when she started at Superwash, she was with her parents. She was building. And she is then took it and grew it for them. And now with her PE fund, they're doing a little of both. And so I'd love to get her insights. That's also going to trying to focus on what investors are looking for. What are they seeing as those traits that lead to success in a business, and see if there are some secrets we can get from that.
I love that idea of really talking to people about, are they a builder? Are they a grower? Maybe they've got some other role that they're playing out in the community here. Because we see this all the time in franchising. Someone comes up with this fantastic idea and they start the business and then they start franchising. And then it gets to a certain point and maybe sometimes the builders get bored, right? Or they're not interested in running a big company day to day and dealing with stuff. They want to go out and start up the next cool thing. Do you see that a lot?
I do. And I saw it a lot when I was producing Franchise Capital Exchange. And it's one of the things that got me thinking in this vein, that you had businesses that, very much like some franchisees get this way, they're making more money than they ever did. They're loving what they're doing and they don't want to be a bigger superstar than they are. And franchisors can get that way too, where all of a sudden the idea of having a staff of 50 or 60 people that you have to manage, that brings a whole new raft of skills that they may not know. And I don't know if it's bored, Jack, or if it's fear. That I don't know that. I know what I'm doing here. I don't know how to manage the skills that take me to the next level. And it freezes them. So maybe with this podcast, we can help unfreeze a few people. I'm going to be antifreeze.
That's your new nickname in franchising, antifreeze. So, well, I'm excited about this. And I think a lot of people may say, and I would not be one of them, but some people may say, there's already so many podcasts. There's so many podcasts in franchising, especially. And there's a lot of really good ones too, by the way. But personally, I think there's so much more room for growth. Podcasting in general, since January 1st in this country, has grown listenership-wise by 31%. So I can only imagine that there are more people out there who haven't really found one that you know, really scratches that itch. And I think the more the merrier. So welcome to the podcast club. And I can't wait for you to get started. We'd love to do some cross promotion talk about you.
Well, that would be great. I'll never turn that down. I'd also like to reach out to the franchise community and say, if there is a brand that you admire and you want to hear their story, let me know. If your story is really good and somehow I haven't had you come across my radar, reach out and let me know. The more we can share this information in the franchise community, the better we all can be. It is true that a rising tide lifts all boats. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see, okay, when we're looking at some economic uncertainty right now, I think if we can give some people operational certainty, then we can navigate the money as we need to. Mm-hmm. But if we don't have money and we don't have skills, we're in trouble.
I think that's a good point, and I think it's interesting that you're you're such an expert in the operations side of franchising. So many other podcasts in the industry are talking about franchise development. I know my shows, we talk mostly about marketing in franchising. And the Women's Franchise Committee has a great podcast through the IFA that I know you were a guest on recently and had an excellent interview there. Just really talking about the stories of certain leaders in the industry. So I think talking about operations is an area that that I think you can grow into and really kind of own that space in a short amount of time. So this is going to be very cool.
Well, good. You heard it here first. I'm going to own it.
You're going to own it. I want to talk a little bit more about operations in franchising and how people are faring here in the midst of the COVID era. And just for anyone who's listening far in the future, we're recording this in early August of 2020. So bear with us if you know all the answers out there to this. But how are people faring on the operations side of your business? And what do you see people doing right now that is helping them stay afloat or maybe even grow?
Well, I would say in my practice, because we counsel brand new franchises to legacy brands, and I have found there are some that have just disappeared. If you were in health and beauty, then you got hit really hard.
Yeah.
I had one, and it was a day spa that was coming up, and it was being developed by experts in franchising, but they were just at the wrong place at the wrong time. So that's happening, but there are more success stories, I think, right now than there are failures. And I've said this to a few other friends. There has never been a time in the history of franchising when the value of the franchisor has been more evident and should be brought to everyone's attention.
Yes. Can you imagine owning an independent single location of a restaurant, a retailer, a professional services, a home services company, anything without having a franchisor that you're working with right now? Could you even imagine that?
No. And let's the first thing you mentioned was a restaurant. So let's use that as an example.
Okay.
If your meat provider happened to be one of the ones that was shut down by a COVID outbreak, what were you going to do? Where a franchise brand that has been shopping purveyors and maybe has one or two that are their approved providers could quickly switch. The same thing happened. I know every franchisee, having been one, complained about the marketing fund. I hate contributing to it. I never see value. Oh, you should be down on your knees and thanking that 2% right now. Because
yeah. Were you contributing or were you investing? Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. And that is your investment came due and came to fruition in this as your franchisees could tell the world that you were still there and how you had changed. And oh, look, we've made it so convenient and safe for you, or whatever their messaging has been, that has kept you going. The other is if you've been paying into tech fees. And I see a lot of FDDs where people try and short that because they're afraid they're going to overcharge franchisees with fees. But boy, if you had a good tech fee, you were able to boost up or create that online ordering platform or call center. You were able to make quick changes. I was talking to Rhoda Olson, the chairman of the board for Great Clips the other day, and she said, we have a robust tech department to the point where their salons now, they went from having 4,800 to having nothing overnight. But as salons were able to reopen, they can check what's happening on a salon by salon basis and help them make decisions about what hours they should be open. Should they try that outdoor hair cutting, which is very popular in California? There is so much value right now for all those fees that were paid. So if you're a brand new franchise or someone considering it, consider getting the fees you need, not the ones that look good to the development department. And to everyone else, congratulations on understanding how those fees could be invested and keeping your brand afloat. That has been, to me, the big difference in survival here.
And where do you see things going, maybe just for the next few months? Because who knows what's going to happen by the end of this year, but what trends are you spotting out there right now? Anything really kind of jumping out at you?
Trends in terms of operations or just in general?
Either or. Let's start with operations.
In operations, I think people are getting leaner. Every food concept has gone through and reimagined their menu so that it's scaled back. That also means that you don't have to order those one-off ingredients that are only used in one dish and can cost you for spoilage. So they've got leaner and meaner in that. And I have found the food brands have done, for the most part, unless they're buried in a mall or an airport somewhere, they've done very well with curbside pickup, with third-party delivery. It's the sit-down restaurants that are going to have a problem with social distancing, because no matter what happens, that's going to be with us for a while.
Yeah, and I think so many of those brands were going that direction anyway, and this has just really amplified and sped things up. So those who were already positioned to do a great job with delivery and maybe do more on an app for ordering, it really just kind of push them closer to success than the people who hadn't been developing that over the past couple of years.
It's very true. And I think there was a discussion at some IFA meeting, and I don't remember which one it was, but it was about third-party delivery services. So the Postmates, DoorDash, Grubhubs of the world, saying it was not a sustainable model and it would collapse. But it has kept businesses alive now.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't bet on anybody until they actually throw the white flag down and say, we're done. So that has been a big change. And I'm seeing a lot of the franchisors negotiating with those delivery services and choosing one or two that can do deals that are still good for the franchisees and for the customers and making that work. And the other big trend that I'm starting to see, and it's a hard trend to get your arms around, it's accepting closures. So every franchise system has that bottom 10% that no matter how you coach them, they are just not going to get above a certain level. Some of them are never going to be profitable. And this is the time to let them close. And I know that sounds horrible, but you have limited resources and we are doing things remotely. We all go to bed mentally exhausted now because it's taking more time to think things through. Take those resources and put them to the other 90% of your units that are going to grow. Well, what that means is that even though the landlords right now, had a long talk with Ty Brewster from Kaiser about this, that even though the landlords are now starting to press people for past due rents, there will be businesses that fail. There will be opportunities to take some of your good operators who have tired stores. You know, they're in their second renewal of their lease and that center isn't the hot spot anymore. Help them close that one down and move it as the rents drop into a better center. So I think that's the next cycle you're going to see where it's a little sad. It's picking the bones of the dead, but it is the nature of life. It is time for some people to disappear and take your good operators with older, tired stores and move them into the A centers.
You know, this may not be a very popular analogy with some people out there, but it's almost like teachers and students, instead of spending half of your day dealing with some troublemaker or someone who needs to be moved to a different level or class or something like that, the teacher needs to spend more time on those students who are kind of in the middle and really make them rock stars. So I kind of see that as the same with the franchisor-franchisee relationship, especially in times like this.
I agree 100%. That top 10% really doesn't need much from you.
Right, right.
So yes, you want to focus on that central 80.
Excellent. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with some contact information, and we can find out where and when we're going to hear more about what's your effing business, and if people have some ideas for Marianne, they can reach out to her. But first, this episode is brought to you by Better, offering tools to manage clients, sales orders, and job schedules alongside general day-to-day operations and delivering a complete business management solution for small multi-location franchise owners. With the ability for cloud-based and mobile usage, Better allows users to access and manage business operations from anywhere and at any time using a mobile or tablet device. Learn more about the Better Software Company at thebettersoftwarecompany.com. Marianne, thanks so much for being here. I'm really excited for you kicking off the new podcast in the hopefully near future. If our listeners want to reach out to you with some ideas or maybe some brands that they'd really like to hear about, where do you want to connect with people?
You can connect with me anywhere you can find me. So I'm on LinkedIn. You can connect with me from our website. There is an information request form. You can just fill that out. Or send an email to info@franwise.net.
Info@franwise.net. Okay.
And if you still use a telephone for dialing and talking to people, you can call me at 714-434-1516.
And we will have all of those places in the show notes today so people can find you easily. MAO, I will see you on a video screen very soon.
Jack, this was great. Thanks for letting us get the word out and sharing some great ideas.
You bet. And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. Copyright 2020 Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.